All right, we are back for another edition of They Don't Do That in Europe with me. Oh, I got to see. All right, shrinking the window so I can see. On the left, who will it be? Bill Shiken. Bill,
yeah.
What's up, man?
Left-hand man.
And with us, the... What's a good intro for Mr. David? Is Mr.
Angry,
David Palin.
The angry Mr. David Palin. You guys got me started.
He's got a cold. He's kind of stuffy, and he's cranky. So
he's
look
cranky.
Out.
Look out! We usually say nice things about everybody, but not today, baby. Turning over a new leaf.
So we are back for another edition. We got some great European stuff to talk about. Some U.S. cyclocross that happened last weekend. And are you guys ready to get to it?
I am.
We've been talking. Don't know. Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, no. What don't the viewers know?
That we've been talking already for 45 minutes.
We have.
But anyways, go ahead.
But for them, they're getting here really fast. For those those who have like already gone to 5 minutes to wait for you to welcome everybody into the TDTTIE, missed the fact that I didn't do an intro.
Yeah,
but I do want to tell everybody that just, you know, briefly, this episode is brought to you by healthiq.com. You should go to healthiq.com/CXHairs and sign up. And it's also brought to you by the Wide Angle Podium Podcast Network. And go to wideanglepodium.com. Okay.
Two great sponsors.
Yeah.
So, all right. Who are we starting with first? Let's talk about Tulsa, because that was a one-day race here in the U.S., something we don't have a lot, right?
Correct.
And women's elite and men's elite, not huge fields. We were kind of talking about this before. They didn't have huge fields in there for Tulsa. It's kind of, you know, a little bit of a distance for a lot of people and just for a one-day race. So I think that might have been why. But top five for the elite women. In first place was Caroline Mani. Second place, Sunny Gilbert. So awesome seeing her on the podium. Third place, Samantha Runnels. Fourth place, Amanda Nauman. Fifth place, Carolyn Nolan. Any comments or anything about that?
Mani's first win since French Nationals.
Yeah. I think that's right, for sure.
At least first UCI win, for sure.
Yep.
So good to see her.
Yep.
Coming up on top. Sunny Gilbert, you know, had that great win in Iowa and now back up there, second step. So good result for her, too.
Yeah, we just got an
Sunny's
email.
Sunny's one of those people that, sorry to step on you there, Scotty D. Sunny's one of those people that no matter how she's suffering, she's smiling, you know?
Exactly. She's awesome. We just got an email.
We love Sunny.
We got an email, Bill, for the Bike Shop CX show from a guy who now listens to both this show and that show because he's a fan of Sonny's, and that's how he heard about us, and now he's downloading all the back episodes.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We accompany her on a lot of training rides, so let's start that next interval, Sonny. Come on. Pick it up.
Come on.
Push it. Do I have to put on my angry face again? I'm going to take back those nice things I said about you.
All right. For the men's race.
That would be a proper heckle, by the way. That's an okay heckle.
Yes.
What?
Okay.
What was that, David? What's the
I
heckle?
Said that was it. That I'm going to take away those nice things I said about you.
Are we going to have a whole discussion on if we are in a post-heckle world?
Oh, I'm hoping not to, because, Bill, I haven't, in our 45-minute of pre-show show, I didn't mention that at my race weekend, man. I'm not going down this road with you guys, but there's a difference between a heckle, which is something that takes a little bit of thought process, is maybe subtle, and smashing somebody over the head with a box of wine. I mean, it's just...
What?
Know?
Yeah. How do you like that?
You can say that.
Like physically?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
A box of red wine too. So,
yeah, so
you can
not
imagine
only was
like
one person like come to fisticuffs rolling down the side of a hill. Many kits were stained.
Yeah. Brilliant.
That's like assault.
Yeah.
I agree. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. So anyways, we want to talk about the elite men's race in Tulsa.
Yeah, I'm going down this road.
In first place was Cody Kaiser. Second place, Skylar Mackey. Third place, Travis Liverman. Fourth place, Alex Ryan. Fifth place, Dylan Postier. Yeah, I think that sounds right. Yeah. So Cody Kaiser, I believe that's his first UCI win for Cody.
Yeah, first we had ever. The two Canadians, Postier and Clodier, they're fifth mm-hmm. and sixth.
Yeah, yeah. So that's cool. And our buddy.
They're going to like that. They're going to like that you're just letting that go.
They're not Canadian. and we see our good friend Travis Liverman, David, getting third.
Yeah, that's... and good race for Travis. He's a nice guy. We pitted for him a couple weeks ago.
I hope he got those flats fixed.
And the broken wheel fixed as well.
Right. So, all right. Well, let's move
Alex,
on.
That, Alex Ryan too. Good. Good showing for him.
Yep. So yeah, still some. Again, not a huge field, but decent, really decent talent out there for that race. So I it would have been cool to see. So, all right, we'll move on to. All right, you guys. Well, we're going to continue with our U.S. stuff, right? We're going to talk about Northampton International. Sound good?
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
11. All right. Let me make sure I got the right. I'm actually looking, I'm looking, you guys will be proud of me. I'm looking at results on the computer.
Nice. I didn't, that was actually, it looked like it came down. I'm just looking at these results too. It looks like a little bit of a sprint there between Mackey and Liverman for second and third. So good little battle in that race. And then, Liverman and Ryan. So two North Carolina guys who made it out there for that race.
You're still talking about Tulsa. So just so people know.
Waiting for you to move over to
All right, Northampton International. Day one, I'm going to do the men first. First place was Curtis White. Second place, Stephen Hyde. Third place, Jack Kisseberth. Fourth place, Justin Lindeen. And fifth place, Anthony Clark. Looked a very close finish between Curtis and Hyde, right? They both have the exact same time. I believe it was just half wheel or wheel tire thickness or something. I only saw a shot from straight on, so I couldn't tell exactly how close it was. But very close for sure. So Curtis starting to remember, was it a couple weeks ago? We said Curtis White going to start to see him with the whole Cincy Louisville kind of thing. He starts to ramp it up a little bit. Now he gets a win in Northampton. He's starting to raise his game as we head into nationals.
Yeah. I talked to him for a second after DeVu, and I think, wasn't he fourth there?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. In up there for sure. Yeah. And I asked him, I was like, so are you happy with that result? And he said, I'm happy with the way, I'm happy with how things are progressing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good.
So.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Anything else we want to talk about that men's field?
I think his quote after this race was he thanked Steven for the motor pacing training.
Oh, that's right. That is what I saw. That's awesome. All right, moving on to the women the same day. Curtis gets the win for the men. In first place for the women was Emma White. In second
completing
place
the whiteout.
That's right. I like the whiteout. In second place, Rebecca Ferringer. In third place, Arlie Kemmerer. Fourth place was Ruby West. And fifth place was Cassandra Maximenko. Good to see Emma again. Emma doing her thing. That's awesome. Rebecca also at the top there. And Arlie she was doing well and then had a stumble on the barriers
she kissed that barrier pretty good.
Saw that little that she posted it, I think, that little video of herself kissing that barrier. So I think that sent her back a little. But all those three ladies within a minute of, not even a minute separating the top three. So still would have, I'm sure, was an exciting race to see there. So
did you guys notice the smaller barriers?
What were the barriers like there? What they have?
They weren't 25 centimeter barriers, but they weren't full on 40 centimeter barriers either.
But they were the same for everybody.
They didn't switch them out between races.
Yeah.
No. They were the same for everyone. And what was cool, I saw something from Adam later on. His idea was to put them a little bit closer together, not quite as tall. It really forced a decision, and it wasn't just a straight bunny hop between them. A lot of people were choosing to dismount and run them because of how close the proximity of barrier one to barrier two. Made it really interesting. made it actually kind of exciting. I was really
I like that. So it's not it's not just a no-brainer. Oh, we all have this skill now. They're a little lower, so we can just fly through them and not have to dismount. It still had some technical, but it was more of a quickness and agility over height.
Right. We talk about this a lot with this. I like it when the race designer makes you think at different features, which is what this is. It's no straight, really easy. Oh, I'll hop them. It's always faster, because it's not always faster.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially in a race like this, where I think Adam has his work cut out for him, since it is the, you know, and he'll say it too, the self-proclaimed grass crit championship.
Right.
That, yeah, you got to do stuff like that to keep it interesting and keep riders literally on their toes.
And I totally agree with you, David. I love that kind of stuff in a course. And you did a good job of that at Matt Anthony this weekend, by the way.
Why, thank you.
Oh yeah, let's talk about Matt Anthony. Isn't that like the premier race of the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, it really was.
It was.
Did anybody else have a cannon as a starting gun? I think not.
Was it a true cannon?
It was an ordnance rifle.
There we go.
10-pound ordnance rifle from the Civil War.
Yeah, I don't know, Bill, if you've seen the pictures. If you haven't, and I would encourage our viewers to go over onto Matt Anthony's Facebook page, Matt Anthony CX on Facebook. Bob Burke is a photographer. He got a great picture of the cannon. He shot like 30 frames all at once to catch that perfect. You see the flame coming out of the front of the cannon and actually coming up. Up from the back end of the cannon as well. And also Diane Weiss, she's a photographer that's now retired from the Free Press here in Detroit. So we have some really great pictures out there. The course set up really well. And I will tell you that someone that does a lot in cyclocross and has seen venues from coast to coast and actually around the world was really impressed by the venue there, saying one of the best cyclocross venues he's been on.
Wow.
And this Matt Anthony is a real thing.
And that's at the fort, right?
Yep. At the fort.
The one built to keep Canadians like Postier and Claudier right.
out of those guys.
Keep them out.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. Yeah. Built to keep the English out that were coming from Canada.
Oh, sneaky.
But yeah.
Sneaky.
Yeah.
But to get back, what we're talking about course design for viewers is basically what David and I think Dan was helping with. Is just put your barriers a very interesting distance from where there was a forced run up, right? So now you're forcing the decision of a remount to ride this short distance, or do I just keep running? If I can't hop the barriers, do I just keep running from the end of getting over the barriers and just run to that run up and then continue running up? So it was just the right distance that it forced. That was a tough decision to make. Some people were making it one way, some making it the other. And that's the kind of stuff where you can create elements in your course very easily.
And there's that third group that actually could remount right at that barrier and ride the run up. But for some, and it was a lot of people riding it, and it was no faster to ride it because you get that hesitation stumble at the top. Right. That was a really interesting. And, yeah, kudos to Dan Hoffman. He and I have put a lot of efforts and a lot of thought into that course layout.
Yeah, very cool. So, all right, are we back to Northampton?
We're going
to
do day two.
All right, we're going to stick with the women, though. So in first place was, again, Emma White. Second place, Ruby West. Third place, Rebecca Farringer. Fourth place, Cassandra Maximenko. Fifth place, Catherine Cumming. So slightly different. Same winner with Emma White. Rebecca Farringer still in there. Some interesting news came out, but Rebecca's going to be heading up the stands team. Did you guys see that?
No.
I did not.
Yeah. Pretty cool. There was an article about that to speak. So
very nice.
That's awesome.
Let's talk for a second about second place in that race.
Ruby West.
Ruby West, Canadian U23 national champ, still a Devo rider for Cannondale. So Emma White's teammate, right?
Yep.
Just great ride. I mean, we've seen her before.
2 seconds off, 2 seconds behind Emma on the time.
I mean, we've seen her before. We know she's fast, but that's a good result. And I mean, Stu Thorne and Chandler, they have an eye out for some good talent.
Yeah, those they can guys, pick them, can't they?
Those guys have watched a cross race or two, I think, in their history.
It's kind of interesting. You know, you have, I don't think we talk about it enough, just the powerhouse that this Cannondale Cyclocross World team is. I mean, look at both races. You got Curtis and Steven, teammates, fighting it out in the men's race, and then you got Emma and Ruby fighting it out in the women's race. That's pretty dominating.
And if there was an elite junior race, like we're going to talk about for this coming weekend, there'd be two Cannondale riders at the front of that, or at least battling for the front of that. Yeah. So, they're the Yankees of American cyclocross for sure. I would say, right, David? Not the Reds.
I love that you're taking a Massachusetts. Aren't they Matt? Are they Connecticut? Where's the
the Yankees? They're from Connecticut. Yeah,
no, that's just where they all live.
Oh yeah. All right. Repercussions
for the men at Northampton Day 2. First place Curtis White. Second place Justin Lindeen. Third place Jack Kisseberth. Fourth place Anthony Clark. Fifth place Jeremy Powers. Jeremy.
I wouldn't feel good if I didn't. Connecticut. Cannondale's from Connecticut, so they could be Yankees.
Okay.
Yeah, they were. But where's Cyclocross World? Where's, because I think he's Stu Thornton's in Massachusetts, isn't he?
I'm sure he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey guys, you're done.
Yeah.
us East Coasters, we talk about this stuff. Sorry.
Oh, really? I never noticed that. I didn't realize people from the East Coast like to talk about the East Coast.
Oh, should we talk?
I've never noticed that.
We just talked about Michigan. And
wow.
And Hurtland.
Just kidding. Just kidding, everybody. We're all just kidding.
We do like each other, even off.
All right. Well, that's Northampton.
Beverly,
it looked like a
Beverly,
cool time.
They're in Beverly, Massachusetts.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right.
Shout out to my mother, who's a listener now, also named Beverly. There you go.
We can't. You see how hard I'm trying to keep this show on the rails? Right. I'm like forcing it back with all my might.
So
now
they're
the
mighty
so
Casey.
They're more the Bruins of.
There you go.
All right.
Oh, now we're gonna have to get into the Red Wings.
No, God. Hey, go at least they're both original six.
Here we go.
Okay, you guys wanted to talk about Jamarket Cross.
I did, right? I want to talk about it because I feel bad that it happened and I didn't see it. It's my favorite, you know, artificial feature race ever.
It's in Neal. It was a C2, I believe. And did you want to talk about who went? What did you want to talk about? You want to talk about the women? Nikki Brammier won it.
I didn't realize that it happened. And if people have never seen that race, they should just go watch. I need to go back and watch it myself. But it's the one that, as David pointed out, it takes place. You know, the central feature is when they ride through the pallets of cement through the Home Depot.
Home Depot parking lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's the one that.
Tone Ayres.
Yep.
Who was the Czech rider rode forever? Oh, blank. Starts with a B. Anyway, I just remember him having mechanical in the pallets part, and then couldn't figure out how to get out. Like he was abandoning
like a scene from Spinal Tap.
Yeah, he was abandoning the race and trying to like climb over the pallet, and he was basically just like stuck on the course. So, that was
he couldn't get to the he had really had a mechanical. He couldn't go to like aisle three and find the right tools. We got to clean up in aisle three.
That's also I think the year like that used to be one that Sven would win a lot, and it was they built that huge like sand mountain 1 year for that race.
Uh-huh.
Which was just impressive. It's just you know, they
that
always...
was in the gardening center, I think, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. I agree. It is a cool race. It's cool that they do that and still keep it as a UCI race, right? It's like they don't go, it's not like so, it's not so crazy that it's like not even a sanctioned race. So, yeah, that's still cool about it. So,
this is still driving me crazy. It wasn't Simonek.
Well, you'll think of it.
I will.
You'll think of it as we move on. Okay, so the main race we want to talk about this week is Telenet Super Prestige. What was the name of it? Gavra.
I'm just waiting. Hold on. I'm just waiting till we get to the World Cup because I now know how to pronounce that one.
I'm guessing that's wrong. Anyway, so all right, this was did everybody get a chance to watch? And let's talk about Flow Bikes for a second. Yeah. Awesome job, guys.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, yes. Go ahead, David.
A surprise to me, anyways. I had no idea that they quietly came on and did this awesome thing.
Yeah, everybody was going around going, anybody got a link? Where's the links to the replay? And yeah, it was on Flow Bikes and it was great. So all right, well, let's talk about the women's race first. Well, did we want to do juniors? Let's do juniors because, Bill, you wanted to talk about Pim Ronhar, right?
Yeah, who is a name that we're probably mispronouncing, but that we will be mispronouncing a lot in the future. He's a talent.
Yeah,
Dutch rider, 16 years old, so he is a year younger than most of the riders, even in the junior field, riding for Marlux Napoleon and currently leading the World Cup for the juniors. And just the name that, this is his first year in the juniors. So unless we were, watching the U13s or 15s, right. we weren't seeing him till now. So really, came onto the scene, and we always talk about the youth movement, and then the young guns. Well, here's like a young gun who's coming on to the juniors, which guys, especially at that age, he's 16 racing against guys who are like 19. He's definitely a guy to watch out for.
So he gets
second,
the win.
Second at Guyton, second at Hutton Cross, wins at Zonhoven and Coxsider.
Talk about being able to spot talent. So we, of course, may not have heard of him. He's been on Marlux for 4 years.
Right.
So it's kind of like the premier soccer, where they go out and sign the 11-year-olds. That's basically
Right.
Yeah.
So Thomas Kopecky got second. Ryan Cochins got third. Ryan Camp got fourth. And Anton Fernanda got fifth. So that is the junior race at Guevara. We wanted to get that in mentioned. Let's talk about the U23 race while we're at it. First place, Thomas Pidcock. The kid is putting on a show, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like he's kind of picking his races, but then he's like, any race he's in, he wins. He doesn't like compete in every single race, keeping that kind of whatever his schedule is or training plan is. But then any race he is in, he's winning. So
I need to interject here for a second.
Yes.
Just for all of the people who are yelling at their podcast machines. Martin Bina.
Oh, yeah. Woo.
Got it.
Sleep better tonight.
That was the Czech rider I couldn't think of who couldn't find his way out of the palace. Okay. Continue.
Now we got it.
All right.
Now we know what to search for on YouTube when we're looking for the clip. Sieben Wouters got second. Dees Ertz got third. Yannick Peters got fourth. And Tone Van de Bosch got fifth in the U23. So. Continue to watch Thomas Pidcock. I think that's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens at Worlds with him when everybody's all in the same race again. And we'll go. I think it's going to be great. So anything else you guys want to say about U23?
No.
We'll move on to elite women, and this was a really good race, I thought. Tons of mud, thick Belgian mud, right, guys? I mean, what did you guys think about this? You know, Guevara might be, if I could pick, had to pick one race to go over and see, this might be the one. This race, it's awesome.
Bring some boots and make sure they are well attached to your feet.
Yeah, and well insulated too.
Yeah.
For the majority of that race, Nikki Brammier and Ellen Van Looy were kind of racing against each other. They pulled away from everyone a little bit, got a bit of a gap. Kim Vandensteen was third. Alice Marie Arzufi was fourth, and Sonny Count was fifth. But the two of them, one of the things I noticed in this race is that Nikki Brammier, now, you know, Ellen Van Looy is not like what a great runner. Would you consider her a great runner? But Nikki Brammier, we've talked about her struggling with her run for a long time, right? She didn't let her, and there was running in this race because of the mud, but she didn't let that beat her, right? In a race with this much running, you wouldn't, you know, normally think Nikki Brammier is going to be racing for the win, right?
Yep.
True?
Yeah.
And she didn't let that beat her is kind of the point I'm trying to get at. She ran well enough that she could stay with Ellen Van Looy throughout the whole race.
Yeah, this was also a race that, you know, I always think of, you know, races like this and the kind of the Belgian advice that the person who wins is the one who's going to crash the least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you're going to find yourself
you can
on the
Sophie
ground.
Sophie DeBoer about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, Katie Compton got taken out early in this race.
A number of times. Yeah.
You know, just from the start, it looked like there was a little argy bargy going on in one of the turns.
Yeah.
But even Nikki, like later on when she went through that ditch and pretty much face planted through it,
yeah,
got up and still was able to. I just wonder if this was a and they went back and forth, but it seemed like Nikki was kind of being forced to set the pace most of the race when they mm-hmm. for those later laps. Do you think that was everybody was going all out, or do you think Ellen was holding something back for that final stretch?
Well, I think Ellen's a cagey rider. I think, you know, she's been around. This isn't her first rodeo. I think
that's true.
It's a strategy.
But I think Nick Brammier was climbing better than Ellen Van Looy. I think Ellen Van Looy was catching her on the descents, right? Every time those snaky descents would come on, Ellen would close the gap back down and get right on her. Sometimes a couple times she passed her, and then Brammier was able to repass her on some kind of uphill or something like that. Especially because I think the mistake that Nikki Brammier made was on the last lap, they came through. She had been riding. So when they went through pit two, I don't know if you guys noticed, pit two is the one where then they went around the corner and then they did that long, shallow climb up past the stone building that's up on the hill. Yeah. And Brammer had been riding that most times, right? After getting a bike and riding that climb. She doesn't get a bike on that last lap. Ellen comes in, gets a bike on her shoulder, right? Never sets it down.
Right.
Brammier with her dirty bike is unable to stay on. She has to dismount and start running. Ellen runs her down. By the time they get to the top of that, they're even, and Ellen's got a completely clean bike that hasn't even touched the ground yet, right?
Yeah.
And Nikki's still got the full mud bike, right? And then they're going to end up sprinting. So who's, you know, one of them's got a bike with 15 pounds or whatever less mud on it. So I thought that was probably where the race was decided right there. When they reached the top of that hill and Van Looy's got a bike that hasn't even hit the ground yet. And Brammier doesn't, and then they come down to that sprint. So, probably if she was going to do it over, might come in there and get a clean bike. I don't know.
So that's always, those are my favorite pit exchanges.
Shoulders.
It's just the most elegant looking pit exchange where you don't actually remount. You just sort of hand off the bike and get another onto your shoulder.
I want to talk about it more in the men's race because I think it was interesting in the men's race too. But before we do that, just quickly too, Kim Vandensteen, she didn't do anything fancy, but she didn't make any mistakes. She had the fewest mistakes, like you were saying, Bill. It's like whoever crashes the least, you know, she just, nothing fancy, solid race, very few mistakes.
And that's a name we haven't said yet this year.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, she was just consistent through the whole time, beginning to end, and that gets her, you know, a third place in a race like this, you know, that gets her a high finish. So, yeah. Compton.
And this was a race in for viewers, like our viewers, I think, is there that time where it becomes almost too much running?
See, I didn't think so in this race. I think this race has just the right amount of run. I think the mud had forced just the right amount of running for this. They were still able to ride a lot, enough that I think it kept it interesting and kept everything, you know, a lot of compelling stuff going on. But at the same time, you know, you had to run. You had to be a decent runner to do well. That was just my opinion, but I'm sure others. What do you think, Bill?
No, I think so. And what's the rule? What's the percentage that you can't run more than...
Oh, no, I think it has to be 90-something percent rideable.
Yeah.
But that, I think that doesn't take into account whether...
You don't have to ride anything if you don't... You could run the whole course as long as you have the bike with you, right? I mean...
That is correct.
Yeah. So, yeah, but rideable is... Yeah, there can't be more than 10%, I think, of stuff that you have to run, like for run-ups and stuff.
Yeah, and that's where it always...
Or something like that.
But I think that's always... hard to judge. I mean, that's kind of on a course maybe earlier in the day that was
exactly
right,
dry.
Right.
But I didn't think it was too much running, and I like those races. I like to see the guys and women who actually are good runners and that they're able to use that to their advantage in these races. And it always, you know, there's so much in road racing and everything, and even mountain biking. Now the joke's always how bad of runners everyone is, and they don't like getting off their bike. In cyclocross, there are some damn fast runners.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
And it's a different running skill too.
And I think it's one of those things that the Europeans still do a better job than Americans. Just because I think they're in those conditions more and they train for it more, that is one of the advantages that they have when American or North American riders go over there for these races and World Cups. It's really that shock of how much running there is, and you know, it's not something that I think is as necessary to train for as much in the U.S. as it is. You know, I mean,
yeah,
look, you got
sure.
like Sven Van. Coach who just ran a triathlon or marathon. I mean, these guys, yeah, they don't have any problem like getting out and running.
Yeah.
Right. I mentioned Compton really quick. It was too bad about that she got into that so early, because did you see her start? She had a really decent start.
Yeah, she was right up there. It was a sketchy start. I mean, not sketchy in like the course setup, just because of how fast they were going and how, you know, some off camber sort of slippery section. So yeah, just getting position, everybody just sliding all over the place and all out. And it was kind of a fun start to watch.
Yeah.
Not as much fun.
And that's
for
something too, you know, people have talked, you know, it's been a topic of conversation for a long time about Katie Compton's start. And in my opinion, this year, noticeable difference.
First question,
she's getting a lot better starts this
first
year.
First question I asked her at, I should probably put that video out at some point.
see the companion video to this podcast.
Yeah. she laughed at me when I asked her if she had worked on her starts since they seemed like they were. I was like, I'm not an expert here, no offense, but it seems like the starts are going a little better. And she laughed. She's like, yeah, I put a lot of time this summer practicing starts.
Well, she listened to us because we've talked about that on the show before. You know, she listens. Yes.
For those scoring at home, rule 5.1.017, course must form a closed circuit of a minimum length of 2.5 kilometers and a maximum 3.5 kilometers, of which at least 90% shall be rideable.
Booyah.
That's
Hey, while you have the rule book open.
That's a USAC number, though, right?
That's UCI. UCI.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
While you got the rule book open, let's talk about outside help.
Oh, geez.
Ooh, okay.
Should I play the?
Yeah, let's go to the call.
Okay, let's go to the call. Who's the call from again?
Craig
North.
All right. We're going to play the call right now.
Hey, Bill, Scotty D, and Mr. David Powell. This is Craig North calling from the great state of Michigan. I got a question for you, and maybe I should have called, why don't they do this in Detroit? But I'm calling you guys that they don't do that in Europe, because Saturday, before my cyclocross race, I watched Sonic Hunt in the on the DVV, the Dave race, have a crash, bend her stem, kind of try and fix it, be running along, and hand her bike to a random spectator who fixed her bike for her, handed it back across, and then she finished the race, moved up through the field as she should. Same thing happened to me almost. I started my race, had a crash, bent my stem. Should I have stopped and had a bike mechanic I know fix my stem? What torque should he have used? I didn't have a torque wrench. Was I in danger of over-torquing my stem? Who knows? I don't know. You guys need to help me. Help me, please. Bye.
All right. And there we have it.
Wow.
So when Craig
he refers to a mechanic friend.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any idea who that mechanic friend may have been, Scotty D?
I think he's talking about me, because when Craig came tumbling down that hill in the sandwich between another rider and his bike, how Craig got between another rider and their bike, I have no idea. I was about 5 feet away, and I could have turned around and probably grabbed a torque wrench and torqued that down for him. I did notice the rest of the race, he must have gone to the pit. The rest of the race, he was on his pit bike, so... something got tweaked on his bike for sure. So yeah, next time, Craig, no, do exactly what you did. Don't get outside help, even in a non-UCI.
Certainly don't rely on Scotty D.
Don't
rely on
me.
Scotty D. You're in trouble.
Because I'm a stickler for the rules, baby. I'm gonna refuse help. I'm not gonna hand you a sandwich or anything. Yeah. But thanks for the call, Craig. So Sonic Hunt, did you want to talk about that, David?
We can outside talk about help? Sonic Hunt.
You know, the only rule here that says changes of wheel or bicycle between riders are forbidden. Let's see.
And if you change bikes, it has to be in the pit.
I think
that's the only thing, right? I don't think there's anything that refers to outside help. So Craig, I think Scotty D could have helped you even within the rules. I think it's dangerous as hell. And I don't know which is better, having someone jump onto the course to help, which we may talk about later in the show, or handing your bike out to somebody to help.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to research this more, because I had always thought
you cannot get any
outside help. I mean, period. There's no, you can't just stop. I mean, you certainly can't get any planned outside help.
I'm missing it in here, and someone will point me in the right direction.
But I don't think you can get any, and I just can't think of where in the rules that was, but I'm pretty positive I've read that before. So, and you know, I think it's the kind of thing where they're not going to penalize a rider for something a fan does. I mean, I think with the Vanderpool thing in the men's race, it's the same kind of thing. What do you do in that situation? I don't know. Do you really?
Well, I'll tell you, in triathlon,
yeah,
to be disqualified. I mean, in triathlon, the triathletes make it a point to, like, if someone comes to help them, they say, don't touch me, don't touch my bike, get away.
Yeah, right. True.
Triathlon, if you don't put your arm warmer in your little box, you have to sit in the sin bin for 2 minutes.
you do get timeouts. Yes, you do that.
So I don't know. We'll have to research this more, but okay. Are you guys still there?
Mm-hmm.
I'm here.
Okay. It sounded like everything went dead for a second. Sorry.
Maybe you need better headphones.
These headphones, I'm not impressed. They have like a buzz in them that I'm not digging.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to talk about the men's race?
Can I tell you something about, because I'm just looking, I know this is just opening up a can of worms, but...
Go for it.
Because I'm scrolling through the rules looking for this. U-turns. This rule has been changed so many times. So now, as of July of 2016, so I'm sure we talked about this, but U-turns on the course shall be installed and protected, such as riders may not hold on the pole or on the barrier in the center of the U-turns. There no longer is the little triangle rule part of it.
Right.
And our UCI official, told us that if we just put like foam and tape on there so it was bigger than what somebody could grab, be okay mm-hmm. with that, and we could keep our U-turn.
Yeah, so you could do like barbed wire or razor wire.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted. What's one of those like big clubs with the spikes out of the top? That's
a mace.
Mace, thank you. Does the mace have mace? Doesn't have a chain, right?
No, I think.
No.
What's that one?
That's a Morningstar.
Thank you.
When it comes to weapons, man, you're going right to the right guy.
Were those available at the fort?
No,
that was a old technology at that point.
Hey, I have some breaking news.
Okay,
from
we
have
to
of
play
our,
some like background typewriters or something
from one of our Twitter followers, Jared Nicholson. You can follow him at ED East. He just tweeted at CX Hair saying that Cycling Canada 2018 schedule is now out. Nationals, yes. November 10th and 11th, which would be this past weekend. So Northampton. So no conflict with either, as far as the schedule went this way, US Cup CX or Louisville Cincy. Or Cincy.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's interesting. Well, I mean, that's good. Then
it is good. That means that I think there's more flexibility for the U.S. Cup CX, you know, in whatever form it comes back in to work around Canadian Nationals. And then also, I guess, I mean, the plan always was to go back to DeVue, right? I mean, that kind of, this was.
I would hope, I mean, it would be pretty lame for Louisville to have both Pan Am and U.S. Nationals in the same year. Yeah. I don't think that nobody would really like that. And I don't think it would be the best thing for at the sport. But that's good. That's good. That'll open that up so that can happen. Yeah, I think the plan is go back to DeVue and continue on from there. So, and it's a good location because it's kind of center and people can get to it without having to fly. It cuts flights down at least some, you know, to get to Cincy. Yep. So. Okay. Do we want to talk about the men's race?
I guess so.
Hold on. What? First, you got to close the door.
That is the door closing. The studio is unsecure tonight. There may be a shower starting in the background, too.
Down in the murder basement?
Yeah.
Okay. hey, Bill, before we get to the men's race,
yeah.
Do you want to give anything away?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah.
I have this pair of Wout Van Aert. Signed socks. These are from our friends at Defeat. They are his world championship socks. They are pro team only, not for sale. And Defeat gave me this pair last year with the instructions for me to get Wout to sign them, and then I could do with them what I wanted. And what I've done with them so far is just had them sit here in the studio.
Yeah, I believe when I was at your house over a year ago, you had them then.
Yeah, but they're still like in the packaging, still ready to roll. And as part of the donor drive for the Wide Angle Podium, we are going to give these away.
Amazing.
If I can find
this is last year's donor drive.
No, this is for the current.
Oh, the current one. Okay.
Yeah. This is big. These are cool.
Yeah.
These are cool sock and signed by Well. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah.
And these are not race worn.
No, they're not race worn.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying that.
Don't jump on me, guys.
Hello.
The question is, can I find the list of donors? Okay, you guys talk amongst yourselves.
glad Bill had this at the ready. It wasn't
I did.
Last week he yells at me and David for not bringing it up. This week you would think he would be ultra ready to do this, and he's like, "Oh, wait a minute."
You know, I'll tell you what. This is like all about preparation. And
all right.
Short.
I'm ready.
Oh, I was doing the segue, man.
Okay.
I was building the segue. Go ahead.
Do your segue.
You don't want to be caught unprepared with something like life insurance.
Ooh, tell me more.
Go, David.
Where am I going? But seriously, guys, when you think about life insurance, what do you guys think about?
HealthIQ.com/CXHairs.
Oh, man, I talked all over that. HealthIQ.com/CXHairs. You know, yes. they're looking for people with healthy lifestyles. It's a win-win. They know that people who do things like ride their bike 50 miles a week take better care of themselves, and therefore they are a better risk for Health IQ, so they can offer you lower rates on life insurance.
So one more way that we help our viewers, we're yes. helping you guys lower rates. And in turn, you can help us by going to healthiQ.com/CXHairs. And
right.
I did. And go ahead and check it out. Take the quiz. I took the quiz this past week.
How'd you do?
Because I got one wrong.
Oh.
You got what it was, and I don't remember.
They'll still take you. I'm sure you're still qualified.
Yeah. And it didn't ask me like if I've ever had an uncontrollable arrhythmia in the middle of a cyclocross race or anything like that. So I'm cool with them. They're cool with me. I'm sure they'll take me.
But yeah, viewers, don't. Yeah, we're talking to you. Go do the application. It helps us out. If you're looking for ways to help out the podcast, just go do it. Do the application and see what happens. It doesn't cost you a thing.
And we
just
know we know our demographics. And we know if most of you out there are in the type of the demographic who really don't want to think about life insurance, but should be thinking about life insurance, especially if you have a family. You know, it's one of those things that is not easy to want to spend money on, but it truly is important, and it's something that you can really set up your family with when you are no longer with them for not a ton of money. So healthiq.com/CXHairs.
Yes. All right. Let's give away the socks, Bill.
Yeah. Okay.
How are we going to do this?
What we are going to do is Mr. David Palin.
Yes, sir.
Is going to choose a number between 2 and 60. Let's say 1 and 60. We're going to choose a number between 1 and 60.
Inclusive?
Starting, so between, so 2 and 59 would be your range.
Because if I picked 1, that would be the header line, I'm betting.
That's
this
it.
Is in a spreadsheet similar to what happened on Bike Shop CX.
Yeah.
Okay.
We rose above it, though.
We did.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I will just say that David Palin has not seen this spreadsheet.
They never prepare me with anything. I never see any of the documents in advance. Come in a day late, dollar shy, and 43.
43. All right.
Is that me?
Down here. 43. Brian Koneman. Koneman from Golden Valley, Minnesota.
Awesome.
All right. You should have brought him to him. Well, you didn't know, obviously, but you were just in Minnesota.
It's true. It's
you could have.
All right.
Could have done
congratulations,
this last time.
Brian.
All right, Brian.
Let me highlight that. You have won yourself some Wout Van Aert socks.
Nice. Excellent. See what you get for being a subscriber. It's amazing.
Hey, subscriber to what?
Order it then.
To Wide Angle Podium.
Wide Angle Podium.
Network is a part of, we are a part of the Wide Angle Podium Network.
Yeah.
It's like wideanglepodium.com.
Right?
It's like a village.
It is. There's a lot of good shows at wideanglepodium.com, including Bike Shop CX.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this show, Bill?
What did you guys talk? I'm a little behind. I'm playing catch up on my Bike Shop CX. What was discussed on the latest episode?
We talked about tubeless tire standards.
Oh.
The three main tubeless tire standards, gave a little info about that. Of course, did listener questions. And then, of course, did what are you working on? Oh, and speaking of that, for Bike Shop CX, we are going to have on the next show our first guest co-host.
Ooh.
She is a local...
we're going to give out who she is?
We won't say specifically. We'll just say she is a local bike shop personality. And she's going to be awesome, and it's going to be really cool. So she's works in a shop, a local shop, and she's going to be co-hosting the show with us next time. So
that's great.
Yeah.
I will say this, that, you know, we are donor run and operated, which means that we rely on a couple things. We rely on you going to healthiq.com/cxhairs or any of the other shows and supporting that sponsor. And then we also rely on you becoming members of the podcast network that allows us to keep the lights on and then the showers in the background going. Actually, it doesn't pay for the showers, just the lights. Actually, it doesn't pay for the lights either, just the servers. Yeah, that make
what do you get enough to pay for something? You get enough to pay for the lights?
Nope. But yeah, no, we have 10 slots of shows that we pay for each month, and we have successful shows, and that's kind of a double-edged sword. You know, it's awesome that we have so many listeners and viewers, but at the same time, that means that more server space is necessary for all of those downloads. You sort of get charged, you know, at a certain limit for more downloads. So we need help in paying for that. So, if you weren't part of the donor drive, you know, there will be others, but even without that, if you join, you'll get some swag and you'll be able to support shows like Bike Shop CX and Crosshairs Radio and Kids Don't Follow. I was thinking about recording another one of those soon. And Consummate Athlete just had Katarina Nash on their show, which is nice. Pretty awesome. That's definitely one worth checking out. And always the Slow Ride podcast. They're doing some fun stuff with their top corner drafts. So
yeah, they are.
And I noticed. See, and did you notice, David? We forgot to answer Little Guy's question 1 week, and then they just stopped asking.
Wow. Well, I think that we did answer his question. We did answer his question.
All right.
We consciously said we would. Never mind. We're not going to go into this debate right now. And I'll just remind viewers not to ride like my brother. Okay. Right. Go on.
We still need to talk about that men's race, don't we?
Yeah. So we're talking about the Guevara men's race. First place was Wout Van Aert. Second place was Tone Aerts.
Wait. Stop the presses. Right. Hang on.
We're not going to talk racing.
So Matthew Vanderpool didn't race?
No, not yet.
Oh,
he wasn't there. He must not have been there. He was taking the week off, right? He took the week off.
Yeah. No, he was in third place. Third place, Matthew Vanderpool.
What?
Fourth place, Klaus Vanternot. What? Fifth place, Tom Musin. So a lot of stuff happened in this race.
First question.
Yes.
Klaus Vanternot having a hell of a year after having some difficult years in the past, and always like, you know, it's sad that this is my last time racing this race. I'm going to really miss the race. He comes back next year, right?
Oh, yeah.
Racing age 35. There is no one else. As I scroll down, Rob Peters is 32. There is no one else in the 30s.
You're telling me that this is forced retirement.
They have a mandatory age of retirement.
To see him mixing it up with the youngsters is amazing.
This is like,
I love it.
This is like cyclocross Logan's Run.
Right. It was just amazing. So, but what did you guys think about this race? What you got any thoughts on it?
I have some thoughts.
Go for it.
And then I will let you all have your thoughts as well. Here's my first thought is that Wout Van Aert sitting on the dais in Waterloo, Wisconsin, waiting for these types of conditions. As he said, I can't wait until the conditions get heavy. And that's what he wanted.
They certainly were heavy.
Big, muddy races, and that's exactly what he got. And I think that at least what I've been trying to sell for the last couple years is that Vanderpool is a faster racer. He's just all out faster. And
he does better when the race is faster.
Right.
Yeah.
But that where Wout was better was when it became super technical, that they may not be more flashy skills, but his technical skills in reading a race and keeping his composure and just sort of get putting his head down and making it through these tough races. That was his strength. And I still think it is his strength. I mean, that's really where he excels. I mean, he's always raced more mature than he seems, other than the temper tantrum when he got DQ'd from, was it World's U23 race or Belgian U23 race? But that aside, always super composed. If something goes wrong, he was always able to get back into the race and go. And that was really a strength, where Vanderpool was more of a, you know, a live wire. And if anything went wrong, he was just kind of done, you know? And also his technical skills, while flashy, you know, Silver Surfer and all that kind of stuff, may not have been as good as Wout. I would like to change that thinking, and I think Vanderpool's just better everywhere now. Just watching him in these early races and like on the slippery downhills where you thought, okay, well, here's where Wout's gonna excel. He was still better and he was faster, and Wout was making mistakes and sliding all over the place, and Vanderpool wasn't. And you know, mechanicals are part of racing, and that's what happened to Vanderpool. He had that chain issue or whatever it was, and that lost him the race. But up until that point, you know, it was only those two. I will say that, you know, the other thing that we talked about with Vanderpool not being there for a lot of last year, and that's when Wout excelled, we saw that again. We saw, you know, take Vanderpool out of the picture. It's Wout. And Tone was there with him, but he was still better. You know, he was still where we haven't seen that from him this season. So this truly is the type of stuff that he excels in. I just think, I don't know if it's, I'm sure it's the mountain biking and everything else, and he's stronger, but Vanderpool's just like, you know, if his bike doesn't fail, that guy's just unstoppable.
I agree with you. I think he does look better, except for in one thing. Are you ready?
I am ready.
I think Wout's support and team is better. And I think this race really showed that. I think when you look at, if you get a chance to go back and watch this replay, I think it showed up in Worlds last year with the tire choices and all the things that happened there.
Yep.
I mean, it's a subtle thing, but that decision and those choices, that race prep and that examination of the course and what was going on and what was about to happen and the prediction of that and being right was huge at Worlds. I think you see the similar things this year. When you see Wout, in my opinion, too, Wout Van Aert is the best bike exchanger in all of cyclocross.
And that was key in this race.
Yes, yeah, it was. Absolutely.
That shoulder carry.
Yep, he comes in the first time he tries to ride that hill. He can't. I'm talking about the hill after pit two, the same one I was talking about with Bramier and Ellen Van Looy. He tries to ride that hill. He can't. He immediately realizes, second time through that hill, he pushes his bike. Third time through, he realizes it. His team picks up on it. He comes through the pit. They're giving him the bike on the shoulder immediately, right? That was either pre-planned or whatever. Whichever it was, they had a plan and they executed it perfectly. They start giving him the bike on the shoulder. From that point on, he runs from the pit up that climb the whole rest of the time. And the team intuitively picked that up or had a plan to do that. If you look at what Vanderpool does, did you see the one where his mechanic grabbed his bars before he was even off the bike?
Yeah.
Like, he's got mechanics pulling his bike out from underneath him. I mean, it's ridiculous. And as far as, again, Wout, like you said, Bill, Wout's a very smart rider. I think Vanderpool, you know, before he had that mechanical, he had a puncture. He hit that lip coming onto the finish straight there and blew his back tire. So he's got a puncture on the rear because he chose poorly on his line. And I don't, if you watch, he just slams that thing.
Yeah.
So he's got, you know, that problem. Then he comes in, then he has a mechanical. Who knows what led to that? In races like this conditions, who knows why that happened? That could happen to anyone for any reason. So I just think, when you look at it, I think Wout's team is better prepared and they approach races better than the Baobank team. I think Creelan approaches it better right now than Baobank is. And I think that can sometimes, like in a race like this, make a difference. So I think that's the one. But other than that, I agree with you. Vanderbilt is better at everything, and he just dominates. He overcomes that.
That's a great point about line choice and comparing it to Worlds. And I think, you know, green tires aside, that had a lot to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
and I'm going to disagree with you on just one point on this one, though, Bill. Tune Aerts is like two laps to go in that muddy 180 coming through. What was almost looking lost out there? He had the look of defeat on his face. They're trailing Matthew by a ton. And Tune Aerts just ran around him. Well, ran under him in that 180 turnaround. And started to ride away. Ultimately, yes, Wout does come through and wins, but Tune Aerts was in the game for a bit.
Yeah,
do you think he's having
a great year?
Yeah, I not taking anything away from Tone, because I think he is having a great year and is able to, you know, be in the same conversation with those guys. But do you think part of that from Wout's standpoint is that for him, and this may be his problem with cyclocross overall and why he may be, you know, we may lose him to the road. Second and third is pretty much the same. You know?
Yeah.
It's like,
if you don't win, right.
Yeah. At this point, what does he care? If he's getting sick, I'm sure he cares, but you know, that's not the old, it's like, if I can't win, that's kind of the main goal. And he only sees one other guy out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to imagine there's definitely that runs through his head for sure. And to really, yeah, the second and third is not a huge difference for him. You know, I think you're right. Yeah.
So let's get to the main thing, though, with the, you know, you're talking about the mechanics in the pits maybe not doing a stellar job. How did his roadside mechanic do?
I don't think that guy did anything. You talk about the guy in the orange
ring. Yeah, he looked at that. He looked at that tire for a while.
Yeah,
he became a good accurate assessment.
He's like, I think it's the drivetrain. That's basically what I told him.
I think he got his chain tool out and checked it for chain stretch.
Yeah. He was writing. He was writing the estimate for the shop.
He was bringing it
in on Tuesday.
He was a good shop mechanic, and he just turned and was like, you know, every once in a while you're allowed to lube this thing.
I think if anything, he slowed Vanderpool down.
Probably. I mean, he ended up just running anyway.
Dude, get away from, you know, he's holding the wheel when he's trying to spin it with the crank. And I'm like, oh, dude, just get out of there, man. Yeah. You're just a disaster.
He did show, you know, definitely showed some good running skill. Just think about how much extra, I mean, everybody was running. We talked about how much running there was, but think about how much extra running he did and still got third.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And then him and David ran back to their home base after that.
Oh, yeah,
it was
like 200K?
Yeah, something like that.
So, all right. Well, any final thoughts on the men's race at Guevara?
Where was Lars Vanderhaar in that?
Lars Vanderhaar was sixth.
Okay. Yeah. One
behind Tom Musen.
Behind Tom Musen, yep.
Nice. All right. One outcome of that race with Vanderpool as well, not just the mechanical on his bike, but also his body, ended up hurting his knee again.
Mm. I did not hear that.
Yeah. Evidently, he cut it open. In the translation, it said he needed a few wires. So he may be a cyborg. But he wasn't sure if he was going to be able to start in the Denmark World Cup this weekend. But it turns out that, you know, he's like, I got a nice lead, but, you know, it would be devastating not to race. So, but he is going to be able to make that start.
Okay, good. Yeah, because, so, I mean, you get zero. That's tough. That's tough. Okay,
Bonza.
Cool.
In the Bonza.
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 Well, were just about to talk about upcoming races. So do you want to talk about that, Bill? Where is the World Cup this weekend?
Denmark in Bonza.
So that'll be something to look forward to. A lot of Americans over there this weekend. If you look at the...
I want all of our Danish viewers to give me props on pronouncing Bonza correct.
Yes. Very good.
Not much of a Flemish pronunciation there, I noticed.
So, yeah, that's obviously the premier race of the weekend. But here in the U.S., what do we got going on in the U.S. this week, guys? This is one of those weekends where we've got C2s across the country, right? East Coast, Midwest, West Coast.
Yeah.
I love it. I was looking at reg numbers. All these races are well over 500 participants, you know, for the races, all three of them. So it's awesome. It's awesome to see. I think so. Just for people. So we got Supercross on the East Coast. We've got the CXLA weekend. It's CXLA, but it's their name. They're calling it something different, right? They're kind of calling it CXLA, but then the race names are different or something. I don't know. I'm just going to keep calling it CXLA. And then in the Midwest, we, of course, have Indy at the Major Taylor Velodrome at Marion University for the C2 there. I think the race, and I've been tweeting about this kind of this week, I think the race of the weekend in the U.S. is going to be the Elite Juniors at Indy, because we got Sam, Alex, and Lane Marr, all three going to be there both days, or at least they're registered for both days. And we know what they've been doing all season, right? But I mean, you saw them at Cincy.
They may be the most exciting field to watch.
Yeah. So I think that's really going to be something to see. The only thing, if Ben Villafane were there, it would be the circle would be complete. But
yeah,
it'll still be great with the three of them there battling it out. So I think that's going to be awesome. All three of these races, though, if you look at the fields, are great. The fields are really good in all three of them. So get out to and there's no excuse, right? This weekend, you got to be close to one of them, right?
Yeah.
Unless you're like in, yeah, maybe North Dakota or something like that. You'd have a long way to go.
But
go ahead, Bill.
Scott, one of our viewers wants to know, why are there three UCI races in the U.S. if there's a World Cup in Bonza? And shouldn't the top Americans be there instead?
He's just looking for another opportunity to say Bonza. Bonza.
Well, what do you think about that, Bill? I hear what he's saying. I think there are still a couple of the top U.S. racers here in the U.S., but most of them are over there. I think the majority of them are over there, but there are still some here. So I think that is a legit point.
I guess I see it more as, why are we loading up all of these UCI races on a World Cup weekend this late in the season? I'm kind of with you, Scott. I think it's nice to have, and I think it's also nice because even though it's the field of top riders is split in four places, basically, you know,
right,
between Europe and then these three races, it's an exciting weekend because we got all this racing going on. And, you know, let's just face it, that the excitement, what do we have? Ruts and Guts, right, left as the final C1, is that correct?
Right, that's the only one left in the U.S.
So we've sort of set up a point here, especially with the U.S. Cup and with the Pan Am Games. Louisville was kind of the last big race of the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until Nationals.
Yep, right.
So we sort of have this gray area now. You know, we want, the big goal is to continue racing. That's what we want, to continue this excitement. Well, with it top heavy up until November, gosh, I mean, that's November, December, January, February, March. That's 4 months, you know, before they'll stop racing in Europe, or I mean, not March, but ended February.
Right.
And we're pretty much done.
Right.
At least with the big races, other than World Cups, which aren't here. So I kind of like it that we still have this, and we should have even more. And this is not, Ruts and Guts is going to be awesome. That's just, you know, first weekend in December. That's not to take anything away from them, but it is a long time between between Pan Am and the US Cup finale and that race, you know, so there is this little dead area in the middle here.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and this is the, like you said, I agree. Louisville, everything kind of, Louisville's the last really big race, not taking anything away from Ruts and Guts. But then this is kind of like the last weekend, because I think we're going to see even more of the top riders from the U.S. go to Europe in a few weeks. Right. Once the blocks come in, and I know this, a lot of the juniors are going in a couple weeks and stuff like that. So this is kind of like that last weekend we can get these C2s in. It's unfortunate that it's the same weekend as a World Cup. That would be nice if there would be a little bit different. But it is what it is. And so I think I like these weekends with the multiple C2s. I think one of the things that can help strengthen our crossing in the U.S. is a lot of really good, strong C2 races.
And just like we've always talked about before, this is truly regional.
This isn't
two, you know, one quadrant races. This is three completely separate.
Exactly. So, all right, cool. Well, is there anything else we want to talk about? We'll have a lot to talk about on the next show.
I did want to mention just quickly, you know, we're talking about where the top riders are. And, you know, like Hyde and Katie Keough and I know Arlie's over there. You know, we got a whole Ellen Noble's over there. So we got a whole slew of riders who are in Europe.
Yeah, Courtney and Crystal are both over there.
Okay, Courtney, Crystal, right.
Yep.
Funny Crystal story coming up.
Okay, but one person I do want to shout out here, because I just love the way that he treats his racing schedule. And, you know, part of it I got, you know, we were the recipients of, because he came to DCCX when most other racers were taking the week off, top racers. This is a guy who is a top racer in the U.S. Talking about Kerry Werner, stayed at home. Mm-hmm. He raced locally. He's doing it again this weekend.
Cool.
He's racing in local North Carolina series.
Yeah.
And awesome. And I think it's awesome. I think it's great. I mean, I just love that he's like, hey, there's a race going on. I'm going to show up and I'm going to go to it. And, you know, and I think there's good competition there. But that's, you don't see that a lot, especially when these guys get to a certain level, those local series sort of get pushed to the wayside. But he's out there doing it, which is pretty darn cool.
I just hope he gets a chance to wear his space pants.
Far out, man.
Dude.
Hey, it's space pants weather. So, you know, that's the other thing. I think both the East Coast and the Indy race, we're looking at like low 50s and rain on Saturday. It could be
like 30 degrees on Sunday.
It could be epic mud in both places. So LA is, of course, going to be sunny. Go ahead.
Cool thing about that one, Scotty D, is we don't have to be standing in the pits.
No, we're going to be cheering.
We'll be cheering wherever we want. We could be just sitting in the van with the heat on.
Drinking hot chocolate.
Hot tub.
Hot chocolate.
Oh, hot chocolate. That sounds better, man. I mean, I like, you know, we're friends, but you
can draw the lines. Where are y'all talking about?
Indy.
Oh, okay. Cool.
That's where you'll find us.
Nice.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, I'll be at home.
Taking a weekend off, a well-deserved
But then Wednesday, off. I'm going to Japan.
Whoa.
Whoa.
What are you going to there for?
Nobayama. There's a UCI C2 race in a different region.
Man, that's a lot of travel. So, you shooting video there?
Shooting video, doing some stuff with Rafa and my friends out there in Rafa, Japan.
I did see that Rafa race on the schedule. Yeah, that's right.
Supercross and Nobayama. Going to go visit with those folks. Maybe do some other shooting in Tokyo on the following Monday as well. So that's that's awesome. Really look, I love seeing like all the photos of that Nobayama race. Always look just amazing, and they're all, you know, it's like in the mountains and sometimes snowing and just So really looking forward
to
that.
Very cool.
And then I also did want to just sort of backtrack to Louisville. One of the reasons I was out there was to shoot video for Cliff Pro Team, and they had their CX Fever Magli Rochette's project that culminated at Louisville with Hannah Bauer, who won the grant, the intern. She was the Cliff Pro Team intern for the weekend, so she was supported by the team, was able to race in the CX Fever kit, race the U23 Pan Am race, and just raced throughout the weekend, and got a lot of counsel and coaching from Magley, and then got, you know, pro wrenching and pitting and all that, and it was kind of a cool experience. I have
cool.
some video from that on the Cliff Pro Team Instagram feed. You can go and follow that, and then also on the Cliff Pro Team Facebook page. So go follow them there as well.
Excellent. All right, well, Bill, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do it?
They can get in touch with the show, or just anything that they need to complain or tell me I got wrong or all of us got wrong, at feedback@cxhairs.com. Also follow along at CXHairs on Instagram and on Twitter, and always visit cxhairs.com. And hey, the holidays are coming up just around the corner. You know, from what I understand, it's safe to say Happy Hanukkah again. So Happy Hanukkah to everyone. go to Cyclocross Book.
It was a war on Hanukkah, you know.
That's how the holiday started, David. Cyclocrossbook.com. Skills, drills, and belly aches still have those in stock. They make the perfect gift for the cyclocross racer of all levels in your life. So, yeah. And Svenness.com. I still have some shirts left.
Nice. David, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do it?
That's pretty straightforward, Scotty D. Just look at Mr. David Palin on Twitter and on Instagrams.
And the best way to get in touch with...
How do you spell Palin?
It's like Alan with a P in the front. P-A-L-A-N.
P-A-L-L-E-N?
Yes. There's no I in Palin. Just like team, right?
And if you want to get in touch with me, Scott Dienbike, you can do it at CyclocrossNet on Twitter or at BikeShopCX. Also, if you have any tech questions for our show, BikeShopCX, you can send them to BikeShopShow@gmail.com, and we will be happy to read your question on that show. All right, guys, we will talk to you. Probably we'll do another show next week, don't you think? They were hot and heavy now.
Yeah, David, I do like how Scott said that you'd be happy to read the emails, but not necessarily answer them.
Yeah, we won't. No, not necessarily.
No. Sometimes we just scan them. I mean, we just read them to ourselves. We don't even read them out loud.
Those big long pauses where there's no talking, that's when we're reading them.
And people think the big long pauses are the best part of the show.
They probably are. They're right. All right, guys, next week. Talk to you later.
All right, later on.
Bye.
Hey, those Telenet Fidea hats they wear on the podium, those toques, they're really cool.